Gracious God, may only your word be spoken and your word be heard. Amen. I find that one of the remarkable things about Scripture is that no matter how many times you read it, you often end up seeing something that you didn't recognize before. Especially with the super familiar stories, like the one that we hear every year at Christmas. Something different will strike you. And I think that's because we are different people than we were the last time we read it. We bring a different life experience to the story. And it's as if somehow, when we read the Scripture, miraculously, the Scripture reads us back. The Scripture finds something in us that it didn't see the year before. Reading Scripture is different from every other kind of reading that we do, because when we encounter it, it's not a passive reception of information. It's a conversation that we are having back and forth with the story. That is why we call the Bible the living word of the living God. And this year when I read the familiar Christmas story, I was most definitely a different person than the woman who read it a year ago. Maybe you can relate to that sentiment. And it's not so much that I saw something brand new this year, it's that because I am a different person, I saw something old in a new way. So when I read the Christmas story this year, I found myself thinking about the census. Maybe it's because one of the ongoing news stories of 2020 was about the census in America and the logistical challenges of taking a census that were caused by COVID-19. But this year, for whatever reason, I found myself thinking about all of those people that the Roman Empire was counting, and the logistical challenges to such a task 2,000 years ago. About how big the total number of people living in the Roman Empire must have been. And amidst the vast size of that number, I thought about the particularity of the story of one man named Joseph and one very pregnant teenage girl named Mary, who took a long journey to Bethlehem so that they could be counted. And as I thought about the Roman Empire keeping count of all of those people, all I could see in my head was something that felt like a permanent fixture this year. A cable news screen with a bar running down the right-hand side where they were keeping count. Globally, nationally, how many were infected? How many had died? In the year 2020, we have spent a lot of time keeping count. We've counted days. The number of days since our COVID-19 quarantines began. The number of days it had been since the last time we saw someone who has now tested positive. In 2020, we counted things that we never imagined that we would count, like the number of toilet paper rolls left in our house and how long we thought they would last. We've counted the number of people who have lost their jobs. We've counted the number of dollars in our own personal budgets, in our family budget, in our church's budget. We counted the number of acres that were burned in devastating wildfires out west. And we counted the record number of hurricanes in the Atlantic this year. And we recognized that if we don't do something, we can count on those natural disasters to keep getting worse. We counted the number of Black lives lost in encounters with the police. And we counted the disproportionate effects that the pandemic is having on communities of color. We counted the number of people present at any gathering that we had attended in the last 9 months. We counted the number of waves of COVID-19 infections. For a seemingly endless amount of time, we counted the number of ballots cast in our national elections. And now, on a more hopeful note, we count the number of vaccine doses available and the number that have been administered already. Oh yes, in the year 2020, we have spent a lot of time counting. And if you dig down to the bedrock underneath all of that counting, you'll find that all of that data and all of those numbers are raising the same question. Who counts? In our society, who counts? Whose health counts? Whose safety counts? Whose jobs count? Whose vote counts? Whose losses, whose grief counts? As people of faith, we should be feeling profoundly challenged by the answers that 2020 has shown us to the question, who counts? Because what the Christmas story reveals to us is that every life counts. Whether it's the life of an immigrant working in a meatpacking plant, or a waitress working in a diner, or an ICU nurse, a grocery store clerk, a first responder, or a Black man in a pandemic prison serving 20 years for a nonviolent drug crime. Every life counts. This Christmas story that we've heard may name-check the Emperor Augustus and the Governor Quirinius, but it's also a story about the working stiffs, like the shepherds in the fields by night and a tradesman from Nazareth. In this story, the emperor and the carpenter both get named, the census counter and the census countee, because every life counts. In the incarnation, the moment when God took on flesh, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the incarnation, God shows us that every life counts because this one life counts. This one life that God took on and lived. Lived as a human who got himself hurt and got sick and felt grief and got arrested. This one life of a baby in a feed trough scaring the heck out of the cows on Christmas morning. This one life counted. God sanctified. God blessed and made holy the human experience by coming down here into this mess and living it God's self. We live in a broken world where the powers that be are telling us, are showing us over and over again that not every life counts. But as Christians, we confess a creed that says differently. We look at the numbers on the sidebar of the cable news screen, and we know that each of those numbers represents a person with a name and a face and a family and friends. Amidst the vast size of that number, we see the particularity of the stories of individuals. As Christians, we know that each of those people count because God took on flesh and dwelt among us. Or, as the traditional Christmas morning reading from the first chapter of John puts it, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It is the living Word of the living God that inspired awe and praise amongst the shepherds and angels 2,000 years ago. And it can still do the same for us today if we let God keep speaking back to us through the scriptures. If we keep having a conversation with the story, keeping our hearts and our minds open to the new things that we might discover this time around. None of us are the same people who heard this familiar story a year ago today. There is much grief in that truth. And there is also much hope. We are the people who have walked in darkness, as the prophet Isaiah said. And we are also the people who have seen a great light. Because we have seen the holiness of God revealed in each person we encounter. Because we recognize that while the world may try to tell us differently, God's incarnation in the infant Jesus shows us that every life counts. May we be transformed by that knowledge this Christmas season and always. Amen.